Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
There's no doubting that music has a significant impact on our lives. Some more than others, but inside and outside the church, it amazes me how much music plays a part in our lives. You've shown that already today as you've listened and engaged in worship. The words of some of those songs have just lifted your spirits and you've just said, God, you're so good. Awake my soul. He is so good. Music impacts across all kinds of cultures, all kinds of demographics. And there's a show that's called Don't Forget the Lyrics. The idea is that the contestant hears a song, and when the lyrics and the music stop, the contestant has to come up with the next number of words. I've only watched a couple of episodes, and I'm really not very good. But let's see how you do today. I'm going to repeat the words of a song, and when I'm finished, I'm looking for the next four words. Put your hand up if you know what the next words will be online, if you can type really quick. The words are, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and... Well, I'm not so sure if that was your hands, but that's good. Here's another one. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Four missing words. Don't worry, be happy. Simple words to a song, but the basic thought, I hope and trust that you will have some meaning for the message today. This morning, we continue our series on reconnecting with the Holy Spirit, and we find ourselves in the book of Matthew once again, chapter 6, and we're concluding chapter 6 today. And our theme is never worry or no anxiety. Maybe the title could be, don't worry, be content. Don't worry, be joyful. Boy, those words, don't worry, don't be anxious, they're easy to say, and I know they're probably harder to constantly put them into practice. Matthew records Jesus' words, essentially to direct our thoughts towards spiritual matters. We shouldn't be worrisome. We shouldn't be anxious. We shouldn't allow these fears to captivate our attention. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 6, specifically verses 25 through 34 today. I'll read them. I believe they may show up on the screens there for you to read along. It says this, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, yet your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And then it says, and don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Lord, I pray that the words that I share today will be an encouragement, will be a strength, will be a source of inspiration to those listening. And Father, as we look to you and into your word, we know that you are going to take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, there's no doubting that in today's world, we can easily find things to worry about and create anxiety. And there are points where people can feel overwhelmed. And we, coming out of the pandemic, we still feel the impact of these past few years. And now with the current economic conditions, all of us have been affected in some way. I pulled a health report off Statistics Canada website, and it sort of reads this way. It refers to the pandemic, and it says this, that 38%, almost 40% of survey respondents in Canada indicated a deterioration in mental health since COVID-19 began. And then it goes on to list several areas where those deteriorations have taken place. And they highlight that 46% of those people who responded were feeling anxious and worried. 26% were feeling sad. 37% felt stressed. And 30% were lonely. And then it goes on to say that for Canadians 15 years or older who indicated that their health was very good, well, after the pandemic started, that decreased by 14%. All that to say that we're all dealing with a whole lot of issues and concerns in our lives. And with the pandemic, things become and are still affecting us. Real statistics that should concern us and cause us to pray. We sang that earlier about praying. As I look at scripture today, I realize that there are many different areas that can cause us apprehension throughout a day or throughout a week. There's work, there's family, there's sickness, there's financing, we deal with death, there's relationships, education, transportation, technology, and you can just add and add and add to that list. For today, I won't specifically mention any of those issues to identify them specifically because what can prompt anxiety and worry in me may not affect yourself. And what would concern and cause you anxiety may not trigger the same for me. Our primary focus today is how can you and I as believers work our lives so worry does not consume us? How can you and I be examples to the non-believers, those who are struggling? How can we be an example of someone, of an individual who does not allow anxiousness and worry to control our minds, our lives? Well, our text today, the first part of verse 25, it says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Now, I don't believe Jesus is suggesting that we don't prepare, that we don't take care of or place attention on these areas. But we all have responsibility to take care of. And the encouragement here is not to be preoccupied with the material possessions of life. The latter part of that verse, Jesus says, isn't life more than food? Isn't life more than your body? Or isn't life your body more than clothing? And folks, our tendency is to focus on the routine things of life. But we need to realize that life is valuable. Our life, your life is important. We need to believe that God is the giver of life, the creator of life, the maker of heaven and earth. And I trust that we can accept and believe that the life God has provided to myself, the life that he's provided to you, the life that he's provided to yourself, each with our own unique giftings and abilities, is of value. The scripture refers to physical needs, and we do need to take care of that. We do need to eat. We do need to take care of ourselves. But the challenge is, do not make the pursuit of physical, material needs the priority or the primary goal of our lives. We cannot allow the situations to captivate our thoughts, our minds. Verse 27 says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Well, Jesus always used rhetorical questions. And when he says that, the answer is no. And one writer said, Worry can't change our past or future, but it can ruin our present when we dwell on the past or the future. We lack motivation to make progress now. And someone made this humorous comment. It says, worry is like a good rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Let's not get stuck. Oh, well, that's... My only comment is, just recently, I got a nice recliner, and when I was picking it out, even the salesman didn't know that it rocked. And as soon as he found out it rocked, I went, I like this. And he went, I just learned something today. It's good, but we can't allow ourselves to get stuck there. We can't get stuck in dealing with the what ifs or what about and just sit there and mull these things over in our minds. Let's believe that God will take care of us. As believers, we should and need to be set apart because we have the awareness that God is able to help us in every one of our situations. Our lives are in His hands. Our lives are in God's hands. Do you believe that today? It doesn't mean that the situation or circumstance may be fully removed, but the power it has to captivate our minds with worry can be taken away. I had this song in my notes today, and then as I was between Tim Hortons and church today, it popped up on the radio again. So I believe that it's for myself and for you today. It's a song by a group called We the Kingdom, and the song is called Miracle Power, and it has these words in it. I may not know what a day may bring, but I know who brings the day. And there's an older thing. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I may not know what a day may bring, but I'm thankful that I know who brings the day. And the song goes on. On the darkest night when I cannot see, still my soul will say, I believe in miracle power, in a wonder-working God. Folks, you and I serve and know a powerful God that we can trust and know that He's taking care of us with everything along the journey. Verse 32 of this chapter says that our Heavenly Father already knows. He doesn't say some of your needs. It says our Heavenly Father knows all your needs and He will provide for us. Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. I believe that God will supply and will provide for us when our priority is in the right place. I want my physical life to be cared for. I want to provide for my family. But I also need to realize that our life goes way beyond physical areas, earthly needs, earthly possessions. It stretches for an eternity. We need to value our spiritual life, which is more valuable than the earthly concerns. Our focus needs to be on the spiritual matters first. To build up and strengthen our spiritual life, our first priority should be to take care of the life that will last for eternity, that spiritual life. When we allow the physical concerns to take precedence over spiritual concerns, I believe we find ourselves in danger. We tend to be moving away from the things of God, and we've given the enemy a place in our lives that he can hold on to and get into our lives. And we need to guard against being so caught up in the things of this life that we think less of God. Our priority needs to be on God and desiring to influence those here on earth for godly matters. There's a statement that I'll say that you've heard. Some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. We need to find that balance between focusing on God and being able to help people along this journey and help them to come to know God and to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. We need God in our lives and focused on Him so that we can be a blessing here on earth in every single way. Life, physical and spiritual, is valuable, but I believe Jesus' words also provide a key truth that will help us deal with the things that are going on in our lives. God values you. God values you. You and I are valuable to God. Your life is valuable to Him. You see, our problem is at times we look somewhere else to affirm my value. We want to look outside to affirm your value. We want the approval of others. And how do we do that? What do we do to achieve that? Well, we place an emphasis on how we look, how we care for ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we present ourselves to others. We want and look for our value to come from other people. But friends, can I say to you today, said it once, I think I've said it twice, that you are valuable to God. I am valuable to God. Every person listening, every person watching today, you are valuable to God. Jesus talks about the birds and the flowers. He says the birds don't plant or store food in barns, but they receive food and shelter. The flowers in the field already are so beautiful to look at. God ensured that their growth and beauty would be taken care of. We respect the animal and the plant creation that God provided, but Jesus declared that if God takes care of the birds and the flowers who are here today and gone tomorrow, He will certainly care for you and I who are created for eternity. Jesus says in verse 26, "Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are," referring to the birds and the flowers. And then Luke 12:24 sort of reiterates that same truth. And it says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" God's word reminds us that we are made in His image. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Romans 8:17 takes that even a little bit further, and it says, "Since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs in God's glory." And I believe there's some listening to me today that you need to receive that today, that God calls you His own. If you've asked Jesus into your life, you are a child of God. Maybe for some listening in-house or watching online, you have not made those deliberate choices and prayers to ask God to be involved in your life. And maybe you're trying to navigate this journey of life on your own. Can I encourage you to give God an opportunity to make a difference in your life and help you along this journey? If you would like to ask Jesus in your life to forgive your sins, I encourage you to do this today. If you want to do that or have questions, you can email prayer@ppclife.ca, or you can put a comment in the chat box and the online pastor will connect with you. In-house, if you've never asked Jesus into your life or you have more questions about your spiritual walk, why don't you come and meet me following the service over here, and we can chat and talk together. When we accept Christ in our lives, you are a child of God. You are special. You are valuable. Every single one of us, children, teens, and adults. And can I add, our teenagers should not have to deal with being anxious about how they look to impress somebody else. Young people, you are valuable to God just the way you are. No one has the right to make you feel otherwise. No one. And if you're listening to my voice and you've made someone feel inadequate, worth less than someone else, or have caused hurt to someone, I think one of the songs talked about getting on our knees. It's time to repent. Every person is valuable to God. That's why God sent his son, because he loved the world. Each and every single person. It's interesting that in the midst of Jesus' words about how God will take care of us, Jesus makes a statement in verse 30 about little faith or weak faith. As Jesus is talking, there's an inference that his listeners, more specifically the disciples, have seen Jesus do amazing miracles, and yet now they're still worried about these everyday things. And folks, for many of you listening and watching today, you've seen God do crazy big things in your life. And yet, we still find ourselves freaking out over the normal detail things of this day. Jesus sees this, and he issues the challenge in verse 30. Why do you have so little faith? As followers of Christ, let's exercise our faith and believe that God will take care of your daily needs. Remember the verse we quoted earlier, that he is aware of our needs. I don't expect non-believers, those who have no relationship with Jesus Christ, to be on the same page. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to show our trust in God and put our faith on display and declare that my God, that your God will take care of your needs. And I don't have to worry or get anxious about the day-to-day activities and provisions in my life. We need to plan. We need to be wise. We need to be responsible to ourselves, our families, those we're in connection with. But we can't let those efforts get out of balance. There's a simple expression that puts it in perspective. Do I eat to live, or do I live to eat? One writer said this: when we learn to accept the situation we're in, we find the power to change, not the situation, but our perspective. A great word to describe that position is to be content. Not easy, but with God's help. Contentment with life will help me not to be worried or to be anxious. God knows our needs, and I believe God will take care of me. And I put my faith in God to do just that. When I do that, I can be at peace with what God has provided for me. Our problem is what I want and what God senses that I need are not always on the same page. What God has for our needs may look quite different from what I prefer. We must look to be content with his plans and purposes. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And Luke 12, 15 says, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. The enemy, our world, has messed with things and have turned that upside down. And we're led to believe that my life, my value is measured by what I have. The desire to get more, to look better, to have more than the next person has led us to greed and causes those very emotions that we're trying to avoid, worry and anxiousness. Life is valuable, and the value of our life is not measured by what we have in material possessions. Earlier in the chapter, Pastor Marie talked about it a few weeks ago, that we're encouraged to store up treasures in heaven and avoid placing an emphasis on treasures here on earth. If we can learn the value of being content with what we have, the journey becomes less complicated and can become more intentional. Intentional. The key to not worrying and not being anxious is to truly seek life in the kingdom. Verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And folks, that's what it comes down to. Our focus, our priority, our efforts, our energy is to be put into pursuing God. We recognize that God will be able to provide for us, and we need to be okay. We need to be content with that. The word seek here means to go after, to strive, to pursue, to search for. The believer's life, you and I are not to be preoccupied with material things, even if necessary. The believer is first of all to be seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now this verse 33 doesn't just refer to these specific verses, but it goes back and sort of recaps chapter 6. And if you remember a few messages ago, Jesus gave warnings about when we just do good deeds for recognition, when we sort of hand things out to people, but we do it in front of everyone else. That was in the earlier part, about giving to others so that someone else can see. It talked about the emphasis of prayer and fasting, but how wrong that is when we do that just so someone can see us praying or hear that we are fasting. And then a few verses earlier talks about how money can be a master and how that can replace God in our lives. If we strive after the things of God, our priorities are placed in the right order. Our prayer life is before God, and the aspects of money and everyday possessions take on a spiritual perspective of how God provides and blesses us. He will give everything you need. The chapter concludes with verse 34, and there is a realization that there is a tomorrow. And I believe there is a tomorrow, but let's just take it one day at a time. And one person said, Jesus is not forbidding us to take care of tomorrow. He is striking at man's obsession with getting more and more and ignoring and neglecting God. You and I both know that the journey is not easy. The day-to-day things and then the bigger life circumstances can be overwhelming if our focus is not in the right place. I'm reminded of John chapter 16, verse 33, and it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Even in the midst of difficult news or circumstances, we can be assured that God is with us. He is aware, and ultimately we are being taken care of us. If our trust is in God, we've seeking him and his kingdom, we will be able to state with confidence the words in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them, for you. Folks, when our primary focus is on God, our faith will be strengthened, our worry eases, and anxiousness goes away, and we can move forward knowing that God is aware and able to help us along this journey. Worry and anxiety are emotions that we bring into situations and circumstances. From my experience, they don't help things get better. They don't really present genuine solutions. It can affect your health negatively. There's less sleep. It takes my energy or repositions my energy and my focus. My thoughts get away from how God is working in my life and creates those emotions instead. Can I suggest these points or principles when faced with an area that can cause us to worry and have anxiety? We can replace those kinds of reactions with faith in God that he will take care of us. When we do sense anxiety and worry, we can pray about it. Seek God. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for you. Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then we can trust God that it will work out for good. Put our faith in a miracle-working God. And we can talk to someone about the situation and invite them to pray and support us. Galatians 6 and 2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And I just say, this is sort of a side note. A couple of months ago, music makes a difference. And it was just a point where I went, I don't need to listen to the Fan 590 all the time, so I signed up for Sirius Radio and The Message, and that's why. Maybe get some good worship music on, some good godly lyrics. It will just help you in your situation. Find contentment with what you have. More than being happy, we want to be content. And folks, we need to continue to realize that life is more important than the things of this life. Many times we find that out way too late, that we focused on stuff and realize that life has slipped by so quickly. I've said it before, remember that you are valuable in God's eyes. And certainly, not just last, but this should be the first. Seek the kingdom of God and above all else. The other version says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I conclude this morning with this verse in John chapter 14, 27. It was when the disciples were wondering what was going to happen when Jesus was going to leave the earth. And Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And this peace I give you is one that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. God is able to provide a peace in our situations. God is able to help us in every one of our areas. He will provide that peace. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for just a moment. Just to consider where you're at today. Has this issue of worry and anxiety captivated your thoughts? Are you struggling in these areas of worry? Has anxiety taken away your joy? Has anxiety replaced your faith in God? I'm happy to say that I don't know very much of what's going on in all of your lives. But I know for me, I have to allow God to work his plan out in my life and to follow his leading and his guiding. Just going to ask you to simply raise your hand if there's something that we've shared today from scripture or words that you would just say, yes, that's where I'm at. And then as we pray in a moment, we can include you in that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Online. All over the auditorium, people raise their hands. Lord, today, in this room, there's only one person who's aware of what's going on in each of our lives. Lord, thank you that we can look to you, we can place our faith in you, and ask you to continue to help us along this journey. Lord, some of the things that come across our pathway, we don't understand, we don't get, we don't want. And yet, Lord, we're asking that you would continue to work in our lives so that we can trust you fully. When we sense that nervousness, that apprehension, that worry, that anxiety, God, may we go to you first. May we seek you. And God, I believe that you help us work those things out. You help us to see some of the pathway that's ahead. So, Father, I would ask in this auditorium for those listening online today that in their situations, in their lives, as they exercise their faith in yourself, that you would provide direction. God, we believe that you're a miracle-working God. So God, in some situations, you are able to work miraculously. You are a powerful God. And God, in our humanity, that's what we ask for. We would ask that your awesome power will right paths, will heal relationships, will touch bodies, will grant favor at work, will help us to realize that our value comes from yourself. So Lord, in every one of our lives, we put ourselves into your care once again. If this is a fresh start, we're doing that today, placing our life into your hands and asking that you would continue to watch over us and that you would help us see clear paths, have the right thoughts, give us good answers where we can move forward in each of our situations. So Lord, thank you for your care, for your love to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are going to lead us in a song, The Goodness of God. And it says that all my life you have been faithful. I'm asking you to sing that song today as a recognition and a declaration that in moving forward, we will say with confidence that He is a faithful God and He wants good things for us, and we can respond by receiving His goodness in our lives.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.